my fun idea for this year's FSU at Florida football game. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Again, they are a full-service law firm. So if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area and you need legal assistance, Brandon Legal Group would love to hear from you. 813-902-3576. Or to request a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. I thank them for everything they do in my podcast universe, both here on the Todd Wright Toddcast as we approach 400 lifetime episodes. And then for fantasy content, they also support what I do separately on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, in addition to all they do at Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Heads and Tails is a boutique sports apparel and gift shop located on West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. And if you are a Bucks fan, a Lightning fan, a Rays fan, or a fan of Florida, Florida State, or USF, you'll love Heads and Tails. The specific address is 4524 West Kennedy Boulevard. Their phone number is 813-282-3783. You can also shop online at, make sure I have this right, I think it's Heads and Tails. It's theheadsandtails.com. They are new to Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, and I want to make sure you are aware of them for those of you who have interest in Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Gators, Noles, or USF Bulls, because that's all they stock. It is all licensed apparel. The store is very well maintained. I think you will also find the website, theheadsandtails.com, to your liking for shopping. All right? They will be with us as we help you with ideas for holiday gifts and stocking stuffers going forward, as they are a huge sponsor of the 2025-2026 Todd Wright Tour Golf season, thanks to Adam, Stephen, Mary Lou, and everybody at Heads and Tails, boutique sports apparel and gift shop. It's theheadsandtails.com. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. I said it once. Last week, a few days ago, in this space, I talked about, the title of the podcast was Ain't No Lie, Bye Bye Buyout. We talked about Billy Napier's buyout, long overdue. Alluded to James Franklin's much larger buyout from Penn State and the dramatic fall of Franklin and Penn State over a 15-day span, where they went from potentially being the team to beat, the number one seed in the college football playoff, and then a double overtime loss to Oregon, followed by an embarrassing loss to UCLA, who had already fired their coach, and then a similarly embarrassing home loss to Northwestern, which has done nothing since they moved on from Pat Fitzgerald and James Franklin was gone. Brian Kelly, this past weekend, as we record this on Monday afternoon, a little before 1 p.m. Eastern Time, October 27th, Brian Kelly is out at LSU. Did get to an SEC title game. Did coach up a Heisman Trophy winner. Did have a big win to start this season. Not good enough. This feels to me more than some of these others, like Florida, Florida State, UCLA, Vatek, like they already know what they're doing next. That's what this feels like to me. We got to get him out. we already know where we're going, or we have an idea on what we're doing, but we need to make this move now, which actually is somewhat admirable because Florida waited too long. Some would argue Penn State waited too long, but the last couple years, it did look like Penn State was close, and then it just all fell apart. So Kelly gets a buyout of, you ready for this? So Sports Illustrated, giving credit where credit is due here. Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Is it SI.com? Whatever the Sports Illustrated website is. Did a story before Brian Kelly was fired about the top 10 buyouts in college football as it related to, if this coach is fired, this is what the coach gets. The story was connected to, is Brian Kelly in trouble? Which he was. It actually listed the top 11 buyouts. Maybe they were just getting ahead of the game because once Kelly gets bought out, number 11 moves up to 10. Number 11 is Bielema, Illinois. Number 10 is Matt Rhule, Nebraska, who feels like he just got there. Matt Rhule got a huge buyout from David Tepper in Carolina to get out of the NFL. And Rhule's buyout is $49.6 million. Brian Kelly was ninth on that list before his termination at 53, roughly $53.3 million. Brian Kelly gets not to coach LSU anymore. Gone. The top eight, Cignetti with his new extension at Indiana, 56.7. Dan Lanning, Oregon, 56.73. And we're getting somewhere with this because I alluded to in the previous podcast about Florida firing Napier that they could afford to do it and Florida State couldn't. The buyout of Mike Norvell at Florida State is 58, rounding up on the hundreds of thousands, $0.7 million. If Florida State wants to move on from Norvell, it will cost them roughly $58.7 million. My question is, why on earth is Norvell's buyout this big, considering the five above him, Dabo Swinney, Clemson, $60 million. Sarkisian, Texas, $60.3 million. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama, $60.8 million. Ryan Day, Ohio State, $70.9 million. Kirby Smart, Georgia, ready for this one? $105.1 million. Dabo's won national titles. Sark has been in the national semis the last 2 years. DeBoer took Washington with Michael Penix to the national title game recently. Ryan Day just won the national title, and Kirby won back-to-back national titles within the last 5 years. Why is Norvell's buyout just below those five? That is a great job by Norvell's agent and horrible management of money by Florida State, which we're getting to now because you want to know why they can't afford to fire him. I did a deep dive reading some tremendous work at TomahawkNation.com. Again, giving credit where credit is due. Two gentlemen, I just don't know them personally or know how to pronounce their names. I think it's Jordan Silversmith and John Loesch, J-O-N-L-O-E-S-C-H-E. Attribution is important to me. They, as Tomahawk Nation is covering Florida State, or you can read online at TomahawkNation.com. I know John is on Twitter. I assume Jordan is as well, but I just started following John's Twitter account, who's busy covering basketball in the football bye week. So Florida State last week cut the ribbon on the new football-only facility, which has been in the works for some time. This is in addition to all the renovations they did on Doak Campbell Stadium recently. Via hardworking guys like John and Jordan at TomahawkNation.com, these two big projects that Florida State just finished cost $400 million. Boosters apparently had to kick in just last calendar year, the last 10% of the money to get it done. They kicked in $40 million in 2024 to get to the finish line of these two huge football projects that cost a total of $400 million. Now let me go off a little bit on my own. The last time Florida State was successful was the first year of the college football playoff. They were defending national champions. They had won the BCS title game the previous year, beating Auburn in the Rose Bowl. That was the Jameis team. That was the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown. Ironically, Benjamin caught the touchdown at the expense of Chris Davis, whose kick six put Auburn in a position to play for the national championship. Jimbo Fisher, the coach, FSU gets into the college football playoff, which was brand new with four teams back in the Rose Bowl, and Oregon hangs a 59 burger on them. And that's the only time Florida State has played in the college football playoff. That's it. Long time ago. Jimbo had some good seasons after that. After Jameis left, they were good. They weren't great, but they won a lot. And then there seemed to be a disconnect between Jimbo and the administration. And then Jimbo clearly had friends elsewhere who said, come on, let's go. And he left for Texas A&M and failed there. And speaking of buyouts, his buyout was what, 80 or so million for him not to coach A&M, which is currently being very successful without him. Part of Jimbo leaving may have been some of the things that Willie Taggart brought up when he came to Tallahassee. Taggart followed Jimbo. Because it's my understanding that Taggart had a lot to do with FSU finally agreeing to these $400 million football-only projects, the renovation of the stadium and the football-only facility. So as much of a failure as the Taggart era was at Florida State, a couple good things came out of it. One, they started working on these projects. They take time. Ask anyone involved with trying to build a baseball stadium in the Tampa Bay area how long they take. It's not just money, it's time. And two, Willie Taggart's the guy who got Jordan Travis to transfer from Louisville. Travis never got to play under Taggart, but he transferred to Willie Taggart's FSU team. So all was not lost, albeit a lot of football games were, in a short amount of time with Taggart. And the irony is, as the Tomahawk Nation guys brought up recently with Florida State and money, Here we are talking about Norvell's ridiculous $58.6 million buyout, and FSU just got done paying Willie Taggart. You just got done paying one guy not to coach you, and now we're talking about paying the next guy, which would be on the heels of your cash call to your biggest boosters. We need $40 million to complete these football-only projects that cost $400 million, and the boosters came through. So you're going to ask them for $58-plus million to buy out Norvell, who did have a couple of strong seasons with Travis as quarterback, and I don't need to go through when Travis got hurt what it meant for Florida State not making the college football playoff, and it's been all downhill ever since. It doesn't help, also, as Tomahawk Nation recently pointed out. Let me just take a quick look at it here. We mentioned how since Jameis, who was recruited, I read a great Nick Saban book that went to press after Saban had won his third national title at Alabama, how the only two players during Saban's successful early run at Alabama, the only two players sort of proximic to Saban in Tuscaloosa that he didn't get, how strong he was recruiting, were Jadeveon Clowney and Jameis Winston. They're actually quick. Let me tell the quick stories. So those were the only two Saban felt got away. They were the only two he really, really wanted during those early years at Alabama that he didn't get. Jadeveon Clowney went to South Carolina, famous for the tackle in the then Outback Bowl that knocked the helmet off the Michigan player, was what, number one in the NFL draft. And Jameis was number one in the NFL draft as well to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Clowney didn't like Saban's business approach to recruiting. It didn't resonate with Clowney. The reason why Jameis didn't play for Saban, and Jameis was down to four: Texas, Stanford, FSU, and Bama, was not because Saban didn't want Jameis playing baseball. That's what's out there as what it's not true. Saban was not opposed to Jameis playing baseball. Apparently, neither was Texas or Stanford, but I know Saban wasn't. It was more that Jameis knew he couldn't goof off and just have fun playing for Saban. And he could get away with that with Jimbo. And he did. Sometimes a little too much, right? But it produced a national title and the only FSU trip to the college football playoff. So there's the quick story going back. So since Jameis, and this was on John Loesch's Twitter feed, Florida State QB recruits since 2013. Here are some of the 3 or 4 star names, also ranked highly by the whatever the ESPN 300 is. Do these names do anything for any of you? J.J. Cosentino, DeAndre Johnson, DeAndre Francois, Malik Henry, Bailey Hockman, James Blackman, Tate Rodemaker, Chuba Purdy, A.J. Duffy, Brock Glenn, Luke Cromenhawk, something like that. As John said on Twitter, this is just depressing. So a bunch of failed quarterback recruits. The one that worked was the transfer that Willie Taggart gets credit for, not Norvell. Which brings us to where FSU is financially. If they want to move on from Norvell, which clearly it feels like they do, they would owe him $60 million. But as Jordan and John at TomahawkNation.com, and I'm sure many others involved with the FSU program know, once they have finally gotten here to the finish line of a football-only facility, a major renovation of Doak Campbell Stadium, and completing the buyout of Willie Taggart, to quote Tomahawk Nation, this program is broke. It's also part of why they continue to sue the ACC, because they need television money badly, and they're not getting enough from the current ACC deal. So maybe this is like, I talked to Brett McMurphy about this often, about where would FSU go? And Brett says, I don't know where they would go. There isn't an obvious landing spot, as there was, say, for OU Texas, to break off from the Big 12 and most recently join the SEC. Or as the Pac-12 exploded, there were landing spots for 10 of the 12 schools. Granted, there was a bit of a scramble there after the first four, all on the West Coast, joined the Big Ten. It's less about where Florida State would go and more about the lawsuit of what we are getting isn't enough. The FSU debt related to athletics in 2024 was $119 million, all this according to Tomahawk Nation, up nearly $100 million from where it was just 5 years before. Again, the $400 million projects, the football-only facility and the renovation of Doak Campbell Stadium, kick up that debt. Do other FBS schools have athletic debt? Sure. The median number is 70. This probably is also why FSU is servicing the debt at around $10 million a year. And again, you just asked your top boosters for $40 million last calendar year to help you get to the finish line of the football-only facility and the renovation of Doak Campbell Stadium to finish those projects. Can you ask them to do it again, to buy out Norvell, before you even put pen to paper on whatever you got to pay to the next head coach? This is in addition to how they bought out Norvell's top assistants, one of which now suddenly is the interim coach at LSU. When they bought out the top, the OC and the DC after 2024. It's messy. It's bad financially. And it shows FSU just doesn't have, all of this shows, they don't have the financial resources that Penn State does, that LSU does. How ridiculous the Norvell buyout is. They got to the finish line. Much like Florida, and I had this conversation separately with someone very good on this. Part of the reason why Florida is behind is a number of years ago, they wouldn't join the quote arms race to upgrade facilities. They just refused to do it. And it set them back. It's not the only thing, but it set them back. It set Florida State back too. Now, they're done. They got them done. The problem is they now need everything to work properly. They need to win with what they have because they have spent all this money on these two big projects for football that cost $400 million. And clearly what they have with coaches and what they have with the players playing for those coaches isn't ready to take advantage of these new facilities and just go forward. There's the problem. And the television money coming in via the ACC deal isn't what they deem is enough, and I would agree. So I wanted to spend this podcast talking a little bit about that. I guess the most interesting thing out of all this, because it feels like Jimbo is coming back to coach. It feels like we're going to have him coaching somewhere in 2026. So we have gone from, you know, Jimbo, Taggart, Norvell, and it feels like the Norvell thing is coming to an end if they can come up with the money to do it. As I did my research on all this, I think the most interesting thing was we now have two good things that actually happened with Willie Taggart's run at FSU. He convinced the administration they needed to upgrade the facilities, which was a reason Jimbo left. And it was Willie who got Jordan Travis to transfer from Louisville, even though Travis never played for him. By the way, if you're wondering, I think Willie is still a running back coach in some form for the Baltimore Ravens, if you're wondering where he is. So he gets to basically point at Derrick Henry and say, there's the field, go. I think that's what he's doing. That's what he was doing most recently the last time I checked. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com is my email. The firings in college football, the buyouts, to me have been the story of the college football season, and we're not even through October yet. Incredible. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Heads and Tails. Visit theheadsandtails.com and Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. Thanks for listening.